Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Yesterday morning, there was still some hope that the main ferry connection between the UK and Ireland, Holyhead to Dublin, could reopen before Christmas. But then, by the afternoon, the port in Wales said it will remain closed until the 15th of January at the very earliest. Now, the weeks-long shutdown is, of course, disrupting the supply chain of goods to and from Ireland, but it will also wreck the plans of tens of thousands of Christmas travellers who are hoping to cross the Irish Sea by ferry. Simon Calder, travel correspondent with The Independent in London, has been looking at the implications now for people who are trying to get home, and he's with us now. So, Simon, what's your own understanding of the problem at this stage?
Well, the port of Holyhead says that this was damage caused during Storm Dara. There were a couple of separate incidents which damaged the berth that Irish ferries would normally be using, and that they are keeping the whole thing closed for, well, another 4 weeks now, in order to make sure people are safe. I have been hearing, and these are unsubstantiated reports, that the investigation to assess the damage caused by the storm actually revealed bigger problems with corrosion on the ferry berths, and that is requiring extra work. I need absolutely to stress that I've put that to the Port of Holyhead and have not yet had a definitive response. So whatever the cause is, it is most definitely the case that this is going to be extremely disruptive, not just, of course, to all the trucks that are waiting to cross the Irish Sea, but to many thousands of travellers.
OK, and I think you're not alone in hearing those rumours, and we'll be hearing more about that in just a moment. But let's look now, Simon, at the people who are trying to cross for Christmas. You know, and our thoughts are with them. The car is probably packed now with the Christmas presents and their belongings to go on the ferry. And for many people, that's not going to happen, is it?
Well, you will probably, if you are flexible enough about which ferry crossing you use and when you travel, there is a good chance that if you've got a booking made already, you will be able to cross the Irish Sea. But the one certainty is that you won't be going from Holyhead to Dublin. The Stena Line and Irish Ferries normally have 4 daily ferries each way, each line between the port in northwest Wales and the capital, and that actually carries far more than I calculate any of the other links across the Irish Sea. If they are saying, for instance, that you can go from Birkenhead to Dublin, or from, if you've got a truck, from Heysham to Dublin, or on the southern routes between Rosslare and either Pembroke or Fishguard, but those are going to be really difficult. And for instance, Stena Line has added a link from Fishguard to Dublin, which I guess is going to work for a number of people. But Fishguard, in the far southwest of Wales, is difficult to reach. And furthermore, the sailing takes exactly twice as long, 6.5 hours, as the ferry from Holyhead. Mm-hmm. And there's also the problem that an awful lot of people, particularly maybe living in northwest England, Liverpool, Manchester, would have bought very good value rail and sail tickets, which normally just take them across to Holyhead and then 3 hours on the ship across from there, and they are not able to use those because there are no ferries.
Okay, so there are options there, but it just might be logistically tricky for some people. Now, we had Michael O'Leary on the programme yesterday. He said that Ryanair fares are not going up because of what happened in Holyhead. What are you seeing?
Well, fares are definitely going up. He was saying that it's actually the cap on flight numbers at Dublin that is pushing prices up. But I think, as he mentioned to you yesterday, there's one flight on Friday from Gatwick to Dublin. That's going to cost you £501. That's over 600 euro for a flight of maybe an hour and a bit. You can fly on Ryanair on that same route from London Gatwick on the same day, but you're still going to be paying a minimum of £228, €275. And from other airports in GB, well, the prices are very high. Aer Lingus, for instance, Friday lunchtime will be charging £363 from Manchester. That's a flight on a good day you can do in half an hour, €439 for that. But there are cheaper deals later in the day. And the most expensive one I've seen for Friday is €800, £660. That's one way on British Airways from London City, but that is in business class. So you'll get free drinks for your investment.
You'd need to be, wouldn't you, for that price. Simon, thanks so much for being with us. Simon Calder there. The other major issue people are concerned about is whether packages will arrive now in time for the big day. Ger Hyland is president of the Irish Road Haulage Association, and Ger is on the line. Now, Ger, we were told yesterday that Holyhead is going to be open on the 15th of January. Do you think that that's going to happen?
The information we're getting is that it's not going to reopen at that stage.
Right, because so, Simon has heard that as well, that there may be further problems. When do you think it might reopen?
Well, some estimates it could be St. Patrick's Day, and there's some pushing it out as far as May and June.
Mm-hmm. And that's obviously frustrating for you guys trying to plan.
Well, it's at the stage now that we can't plan anymore. We have hauliers today with their trailers full both sides of the Irish Sea. They can't get sailings. We have customers that we have to tell them, we're sorry, but we can't load any more goods in your factory because all our trailers are tied up, all our trucks are tied up, and our drivers are all tied up.
And this has implications for the staff as well, both the drivers and the admin staff, the office staff.
It's huge in the sense that we have office staff that hardly went home since this happened nearly 2 weeks ago now, that they're there, they're trying to route trucks through to ferries, trying to get trucks to ports, one here and another. When we get to some of the ports, if the ferry is cancelled or doesn't sail for whatever reason, we don't get on the next ferry. It's a whole new booking again. If you're booking a ferry today, for freight, you probably won't get a booking until Sunday or Monday at this stage.
Right, okay. So, I mean, we are told and we know that there are other services now from the other ports and so on, but you're saying that they're packed, are they?
They're absolutely jammed.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you take Cairn Ryan, our trucks and our drivers are being sent to a disused airfield.
Right.
And we're just only being brought to port as corn as they can ship us.
So they're being parked up there for how long?
They can be parked there anywhere from 10 to 24 hours.
Right. And listen, you know, if your prediction is right and if Holyhead is out of action for a couple of months, you believe, Ger, do you, that that's going to change how people shop and how people export and import?
Oh, completely, yeah. Completely. Especially the online shopping is going to move away from the UK and move more towards Europe.
Because we have Ross Lair.
We have Ross Lair and we have the direct ferries.
Mm-hmm.
So once people start shopping in Europe, they're going to notice that they're not paying VAT and they're not paying duty because they're within the European Union. So that's going to skew all that online shopping towards Europe.
And tell me now, we know that Ross Lair is undergoing a massive redevelopment, but will it be enough to cope if a lot of this trade that was coming through Holyhead diverts to Ross Lair?
No. Ross Lair cannot cope with the level of freight it's getting at the minute. There's huge delays in Ross Lair.
But it is being redeveloped, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But that's going to take another 6 to 8 months.
Mm-hmm. So it's what happens in the meantime.
Yes, it's what happens in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Like a lot of these fears about the impact on trade, we had them, didn't we, at Brexit time? And they didn't really happen then. So are you saying this is now we're seeing it because of this unforeseen incident at Holyhead?
Sorry, say that again, Claire.
I'm just saying that people will have heard coming up to Brexit and when the deal was being done, Ger, that we were going to have these problems with freight travel. Now, we didn't really see that at the time. It didn't materialise. But now that we have this unforeseen incident at Holyhead, maybe now we're going to get that Brexit impact that we didn't have at the time.
Well, absolutely. But it would go back to Brexit, and I would have to say that only for members of the Irish Road Haulage Association getting involved with the FDS and chartering ferries themselves, Ireland would have come to a standstill at Brexit because we were so reliant on the land bridge through the UK.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Ger, we'll leave it there for now, but I just want to wish you and your drivers and your admin staff well, because we know how tough it has been, and it's going to be tough right up to Christmas and probably beyond then as well. So, listen, good luck getting through it all. Ger Hyland.
I would just like to say, Claire, before you finish, especially to our drivers who are doing that UK work at the present time, they're leaving Ireland now and really they don't know when they're going to return.
Yeah, it's a really tricky situation for them and for their families as well, Ger. Ger, thanks so much. Ger Hyland there from the Irish Road Haulage Association. Now, I'm joined on the line by Áine Kinsella, who's a director with Irish Sea Contractors, who are underwater engineering specialists. Good morning, Áine.
Morning, Claire. How are you?
It's great to get to talk to you, just to get a little insight in general terms into how all of this works, because many of the ports we know are quite old, aren't they? They need a lot of repair and maintenance. And this is where you and your colleagues come in. Is that right?
Yeah, so we would carry out works with, I suppose, many of the ports across Ireland. Some of the ports would have maintenance agreements with companies like ourselves. And here in Ireland, we'd work with a couple of the largest ports under this type of agreement. Other ports we'd maybe do on an ad hoc basis to carry out inspections and repairs. The ports we work with on the maintenance agreements, I suppose they really focus on preventative maintenance, where we'll mobilise a dive team to the port, maybe to complete inspections of structures like berths and ramps on an annual, biannually, or on an ad hoc basis.
Just that point I was making about the age of some of the ports, what does that mean in terms of how they are now and what needs to be done to maintain them?
I suppose if you consider the fact at the moment that, you know, worldwide we're seeing an increase in vessel traffic that these ports are experiencing, and also the vessels have significantly changed over the last number of years. Their height, their length have changed. You know, they're supersized, really, which is consequently the power of their thrusters have increased. So in some of the ports, maybe how the berths are made, you know, some of the berths might be made of like a granite. So if you've got powerful thrusters beside them, it can impact and create, you know, damage to the berths. It can have, there could be undermining, which is basically holes where the quay wall meets the seabed. So they need to be constantly inspected and surveyed, and then repair works carried out where it's needed. There's other types of berths that are made of sheet piles. So when you put steel under the water, especially the longer it's there, you know, there's always risk from corrosion. So there needs to be preventative works on that by installing things like cathodic protection systems. So, for example, one of the ports here in Ireland, we're in the middle of installing anodes, which have like a 20-year life cycle on them. But you don't just leave them for 20 years. You're constantly having to go back in and inspect them and make sure that they're working and that the steel isn't corroding, mm-hmm. so that the infrastructure is working the way it should. Obviously, with older berths and older ports, there is more maintenance required. You know, previously they would have been able to provide shelter to the type of vessels coming in because of their size. But now more power is needed in those vessels to be able to hold position when they go into ports.
So to do the inspections that you've been describing to us, you need a dive team. Your colleagues will go down underwater and inspect these berths. What size is the dive team and how do they work?
So the typical dive team is a 5-person dive team. That would be the minimum size under regulations. So it's led by a dive supervisor, and then per dive you'd have a working diver, a standby diver and 2 dive tenders. So before we would put anyone in the water, there's a lot of preparation work needed. So the dive team, when they get in the water, the diver in the water has a camera on their helmet. So that's fed in real time up to the dive supervisor above the water, and usually the client or an engineer would be sitting with them, and they'd be directing the diver on what they need to see, and kind of visually, when they can see what's going on under the water, they might be directing them to take measurements or spend more time looking at one specific area of damage. So they take the time and they're looking at it. Now visibility can impact diving. We don't dive in lovely crystal blue seas here in Ireland, unfortunately. So you need the diver to really articulate what they're seeing and taking the time and spending time trying to get as clear a footage as they can to assess what's going on under the water.
I suppose we're getting a sense as we listen to you that this can take a long time, particularly if there's significant repairs that need to be done.
Yes, it can. I mean, you need to get a very thorough picture. It's not the same as above the water where you can go and maybe look at a building and, you know, there's nothing impacting your vision, your visibility of it. So the diver will need to take the time under the water, and you have different environmental factors when you're under the water as well. So, for example, from tides and currents, if it's a very tidal area, you may only be able to dive at certain times in, you know, like neap tides or slack tides, or, you know, there's certain instances where I might only get a diver in the water for 4 hours in a day because of the environmental factors that they're working in. Weather can be an impact as well. There's limits of when you can put a diver in and out of the water to do the work.
Áine, thank you very much for being with us. Áine Kinsella there from the Irish Sea Contractors. I see on the RTÉ News channel that the TDs newly elected and those who are returning have taken their seats now, and they're getting ready for that vote which is coming up for the Cown Coral. And we'll be checking in with Barry Lenehan over the course of the programme to find out what's going on. Coming up next though, Dr. Maura Finn on tackling those Christmas coughs and colds. And then a little later on, chefs Nevin Maguire and Brian McDermott will be dropping in for our Christmas cooking clinic. So if you have any questions for them, now is your chance. WhatsApp us 0870 32 32 32. They'll be with us a little later.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.